It's a good thing baseballs already have stitches. Because the way these ball players are hitting them... Yeah, they need stitches if they didn't already have them. So the next time you're watching a poor little baseball smacked off the wall in center, keep that little fella in your thoughts. It's hard to be a baseball right now. Baseball is something else. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
High noon in the District of Columbia. Right now, we're not going to waste any time. We're getting right to the BetQL guest line. Sports betting's come to Maryland. Don't place that first bet without checking with BetQL. We are excited to talk to Armin Katayan, author of a new book, author of a lot of books, a lot of New York Times bestsellers. But make sure you check out The Price, What It Takes to Win in College Football's Era of Chaos. Just got released, I think, last week. Armin, how you doing? Thanks for making time for us.
My pleasure, guys. Yep, last Tuesday, so we're a week out.
Very cool. You know, Brian and I are both kind of hardcore college football watchers, and neither of us went to like a big-time power program, one of these things. And just watching, as somebody that loves college football, to how significantly it has all changed. Like, the fact that the Big Ten's biggest win this weekend was USC is just so emblematic of what your book, I think, was probably about and how much it's all changed.
Yeah, I don't think the game has ever been more popular, more passionate, you know, on the field, off the field, and I've been doing this quite a while. I can go back to 2012 when Jeff Benedict and I did a book called The System, which was a deep dive into this chaotic state of big-time college football in that period. And honest to God, that looks like child's play compared to what we're dealing with now with NIL and the portal and massive conference realignment. So, for John and I, you know, it was just a lot of landscape to cover. But I think, you know, when you tell the kind of stories that we were telling through the eyes of the people that are actually experiencing it every day, whether it's Mike Locksley in your backyard is a great example in our book. There's two chapters that John wrote called Macy's and Macy's One. And the last place you want to be in college football right now, much like in the retail world, is Macy's, because you've got Saks Fifth Avenue above you and they're pulling business and players from your roster. And then you have the Targets of the world below you who are grabbing people from your roster, maybe some of your development players who immediately want to start, let's say, UNC Charlotte or someplace like that.
And right.
Mike is such a great character in the book. And then just one other story that's Maryland-based is, you know, Talia Tungavailoa, right before a bowl game, basically driven by his father, came up to Coach Locksley and just said, look, I need $50,000. In order to play in this bowl game. And
Wow. Under
normal circumstances, a coach would have said, you see that front door there in my office? That's what you need to walk out of right now. But Mike had to find the money. And it wasn't just Talia. It was a couple other players that were demanding money too. And so
that's
the state of the game right now.
That's the bowl game they just beat Auburn in?
Yeah.
Oh my God.
They're not going to stop it once it started, but how do they get control of it? Because right now, if a kid can't play, he's leaving. And sometimes kids just can't play.
Well, yeah, I think right now we're in a period where, and I can't tell you how many times John and I heard the words, I don't know. I don't know. I'm not sure. I don't know. What's the future going to look like? I don't know. Is NIL still going to be in the same place it is right now, where there's no transparency and where offers are being used as inducements for players to sign, even though the school will say, oh, no, it's not an inducement. It's just a opportunity for this player to become part of our program. And as part of that opportunity, this is what he gets. He can expect under NIL money, which is just, a crock at this point in time. So I think what you see from the book is, and particularly when you look at one chapter called Unrealistic, that really breaks down behind the scenes what happened to the Pac-12, a 108-year-old conference that basically evaporated in the span of 48 to 72 hours.
Yeah, that's crazy.
It was just two things. It was greed and it was self-interest. Yeah. Everybody was looking for the money, particularly the schools that left. I mean, SC and UCLA were that's when the dam broke. But when you get $30 million, as Oregon and Washington did, to join the Big Ten, that's $30 million of Fox's money. So that means, look, the power that a media company has. And then everybody else was like, okay, now what? Now what's for us? If the music stops and there's no chairs left in the musical chair game,
we're done.
We can't be in that position. We can't be Oregon State and Washington State, because nobody wants to be Oregon State and Washington State. So
totally.
It's really, from a storytelling perspective and a big picture book perspective, it was really rich ground to cover. Not the easiest thing I could tell you I've ever done, but really one of the most enjoyable books I've ever done. And I'm really proud of this one.
That's cool, man.
But see, that the thing of it, like, the colleges, the coaches have been getting rich all this time. The players were always shortchanged. Now they gave them that ability. How do those people that were in charge get back in charge? Because right now the players are in charge.
Yeah. Well, there's an old proverb called you reap what you sow.
Yeah.
And in the case of the NCAA, and that's charted in the book, we like to go back in time so people can understand how we get to this point in time. The NCAA had ample opportunity, particularly during Miles Brand when he was the president of the NCAA, before Mark Emmert came in. But you can go back to the days of Walter Byers into the 50s and the 60s and the 70s, where they basically created out of whole cloth the word student athlete, and they created the word amateurism for one reason. Walter Byers did not want to find the association in court over workers' compensation claims.
That's crazy.
In case of injury or even death.
Right.
So when you go to court and you lose time and time and time again, and you delay and you deny that the workers that are actually producing the wealth for the organization really have no more stake in it than books, scholarship books, and tuition, what you get are rulings like a lower court ruling that called the NCAA a classic cartel. Or in the big picture, you get the Supreme Court ruling, a unanimous 9-0 Supreme Court ruling in July of 2021 that, and that court rarely agreed unanimously on anything, that basically says the NCAA is a cartel and it's in violation of the Sherman Antitrust Act, and it's artificially suppressing wages. Well, this is what you have. You have the wild, wild west now. And in my mind, until the powers that be, and I mean Charlie Baker, Greg Sankey, Tony Petitti, and some of the college presidents who actually have an understanding of what in the world's going on here, until they can get together and put their own self-interest aside and their own greed aside, you're going to see what you see now, which is just complete chaos.
Talking with Armin Katayan here on the BetQL guest line. You can follow Armin at Armin Katayan, K-E-T-E-Y-A-N. Check out his new book, The Price, What It Takes to Win in College Football's Era of Chaos. I did want to sneak an NFL one in here, but I'm curious if you think there's any more, or hell, there's definitely going to be more. What are the next moves in college football conference realignment?
Huh. Well, there's a good question.
and do you think Maryland's safe in the Big Ten?
I don't know. That's the thing. Macy's, you don't want to be Macy's. And just think, for example, we could sit here right now and pick off 8 out of the Big Ten, USC, UCLA, Michigan, Ohio State, Penn State, Oregon, Washington. Okay, that's 7 right there. Does Michigan State get in? Okay, that's 8. Now you've got D.C. Okay, you have the Maryland. That's 9. Okay, and then you take what's in the SEC. of that conference, there's probably 10 or 12. So that's now you're into the mid-20s, and you take Notre Dame, and then you go down and you take Miami, you take Clemson, you take North Carolina, North Carolina State, and then you start to get into the Macy's world. You know, does Purdue make it? Does Northwestern make it? Does Indiana? Does Illinois? I think the answer to that is if the two major conferences break off and pick off some of the real talented. I mean, I'll tell you right now, there's a couple of great chapters on Arizona, and you saw what T-Mac, their wide receiver, who I watched in practice a couple times with my mouth open watching him play. And does Arizona make it, you know, out of the Big 12? So I think that's where everybody's looking at right now, and that crystal ball is really cloudy. And nobody, I can tell you, and this is really John Talty's reporting more than mine, nobody wants to be the one that goes into the room and says, okay, we're out, like a Greg Sankey, mm-hmm. who's clearly the most powerful commissioner. But if Sankey and Tony Petitti combine, and they are much more copacetic than Kevin Warren was when he was the Big Ten commissioner with Sankey, if they decide to make a move, and I don't think that's unrealistic, and they start to form their own association with their own rules, that's when it's going to get really interesting because, you know, Brett Yormark he's a mover and a shaker in the Big 12, and I don't think he's going to want to have too many of his teams left out.
Yeah.
So, you know, it's going to be interesting. I mean, interesting would be an understatement compared to what I think 3 or 4 years from now, what we could be witnessing.
You said a price, what it takes to win in college football in this era of chaos. Did you get close to finding out what the price is?
Yeah, I think we did. And I think that's a very good question because, you know, when you think of the price, you think of the cost of something, and then you immediately think of money. And certainly when you have the college football playoffs now, what did ESPN pay? $1 billion, mm-hmm. You know, for those the rights to that, for to televise those things for far into the future. But I think what makes this book so interesting is you see a different kind of price. You see the emotional price, the psychological price, the physical price, that toll that's being taken on everybody who loves the game and makes their livelihood from the game. I mean, just one small example. I got to know Jed Fish, you know, the coach at Arizona, who's now at Washington, and he was literally raising Arizona from a team that lost 12 straight games, including their final game, 70-7, to their arch rival, Arizona State. Jed wins one game his first year, 5 games his second year, and last year they win 10 games, and they beat Oklahoma, in the Alamo Bowl. So, but Jed said to me, he goes, the first year and a half I was in Tucson, I never saw my family. I had to finally put a stop to it, and I would see he's got a beautiful wife, Amber, and beautiful young girls. He goes, I would never see. So finally, like from 5:30 in the morning to 6:30 to have coffee with Amber, and he could see the girls when they got up to ready to go to school and stuff, or he'd bring them to practice so we could see them. Okay, I'm not singing a sad tune for how much money Jed's now making, over $7.75 million, wow. You know, in Seattle. But it's not just all about the money, even though money is a driving force. When you understand that people that have committed themselves to the college game, and I mean from compliance people to ADs to presidents to you name it, assistant coaches for sure, it's a 24/7, 365 job right now. And I don't know how many people, no matter how much money you're making, want to work all the time, every single day of the year.
Yeah, it's funny, Armin. I was at Washington last year when they played Utah, and their coach, the guys I was sitting with were all big Husky boosters, and they're like, we just gave this DeBoer a new deal. His daughter's coming here to play softball. Like, this guy's not going anywhere. And four months later, he's the head coach of Bama. It's wild.
We have a chapter called Dominoes. I'll give you one quick story. Julian Sain, who is literally the best high school quarterback recruit in the country in the class of 2024, the only reason he goes to Alabama, the only reason he turned down Notre Dame, Texas, Penn State, Georgia, you name it, LSU, the cream of the crop. He gets there. It's his first day of classes. First day in Tuscaloosa. He has a 3 o'clock class. At 4 o'clock, he walks into a team meeting. At 4:05, Nick Saban has retired. retired. That's great. And the floor just drops out of the entire room. That's a Wednesday. By Friday, Kalen DeBoer is the new head coach at Alabama, and by Saturday, Jed Fish is the new head coach at Washington. Now, if that's not chaos, I don't know what is. You know, that's the kind of stories that you get. And poor Julian, who I really got to know well with his family just out of Carlsbad, he's at Ohio State now. And he went to Ohio State because Bill O'Brien was the offensive coordinator who had recruited him at Alabama. Well, where's Bill? He's the head coach at BC now. And where is Chip Kelly? He left $4 million on the table in L.A. at UCLA so he could go to Columbus to get out of the mess. And he could just coach football. And that's the only reason he left was he got sick of dealing with all the stuff that was outside the game of football, outside the field. So, you know, you don't have to look very far to see the collateral damage in this sport right now, even though, as I said in the beginning, it's never been more popular. But it's just never taken more out of people than it is right now.
Armin, man, thank you so much. Maybe we can do this again. Really enjoyed the time.
Thank you. I enjoyed the show. Thank you very much.
Take care.
All right. That is Armin Katayan. I remember growing up watching Armin Katayan.
Yeah, he's been around a long time.
On CBS Sports.
But one thing, what he's uncovering is this. And as a former college athlete, you think I didn't know where everything was. If you just pay attention, you'll see it. So all these coaches and all these boosters and all these fans that want to sit here now and act like these players shouldn't be getting paid, you better go talk to all those people that was getting boatloads of money prior to it happening because they're just getting what they deserve.
I don't think there's that many people saying that.
Oh, there's still people saying that. Oh, man, we can't let them get paid. They're going to mess up the game of college football. Well, get the adults to fix it because the coach is still getting paid. The AD still get paid. The president still get paid. You can't tell me the guys out there that are risking everything shouldn't be getting something.
I don't tell you that. I'm
not saying you.
Right.
I get it almost everywhere I go.
Really?
And it's the same type of people who are telling me this stuff. Those who just sit there and have all of their fun off of these kids and then say they shouldn't get something. All of a sudden when it changes, I say this about a lot of coaches. Coaches are great and badasses when they have all the control. But once you take some of the control from them, they get away from it. When the players can decide where they want to go, some of the best coaches are going to start getting out of this game. And that's what already started happening.
Saban.
100%. That's exactly what I'm talking about, too.
I think Coach K also, you could say, because, I mean, when you're really high-level college hoops, you're dealing with all the same stuff.
Yeah.
I think there's differences, though, for guys like Coach K and a guy like Saban who are older and that close to retirement anyway, that they're like, you know what, I don't feel like figuring this new stuff out. I think,
but you want the players to figure out everything you're throwing at them.
The complaint I hear is, and this is more from coaches, which is weird, is just how impossible kind of putting a team together is in the era of the transfer portal. And I hear more complaints about transfer portal than I do NIL.
But transfer portal, yes, because now the player has more control. But that same coach.
I'm not anti it either.
But that same coach could leave, can tell that parent and that kid, I'm going to be here for the next 5 years. As soon as that kid signed, and in a year, that coach going to another
school.
You heard
Armin's story. Yeah, the kid happens, signed, and then
it happens all the damn time. So, hey, find a way. You're supposed to be the adult in the room. Become that.
The dumbest thing to me, specific to college football, is like this notion that it used to be purer or better. Everything's been going on. Now, the transfer
as a former college athlete, I'm telling you, it has not always been pure.
The transfer portal is new. The transfer portal is legitimately different. But now they also let these kids play 6 years.
Yeah, well, that's one kid who was in his ninth year.
Right. There was some weird COVID and medical stuff, but now the NCAA is now allowing 5 years and a red shirt. So, everybody's in on it, man.
But let's think about this. Why are they letting these kids play the extra years? Still benefits the school, right?
Yeah.
And that's it. So, look, it's a lot of stuff been going on, and the people that's been gaining all of the masses of money, now when somebody else is starting to do some stuff, it's not cool anymore.
I love it. I just love watching. It's like, for me, it's
but let's remember,
watch the world burn, man.
I can tell you the only change you're going to see is going to get back to all these players that are just leaving schools just to go because they can't get on the field at one school, they're going to really find out that you can't play. And guess what? They're going to start closing the transfer portal on you.
I think
I don't need you to come here. You couldn't play over there. Why the hell I want you to come over here?
It will never slow down, man. That much we know. Interesting travel note for the Washington Commanders, and I want to talk projections for the season in general. You're listening to me, Mitchell Finley.
Hey, it's Brian Mitchell here. You've heard us talk a lot about FanDuel, America's number one sportsbook. Well, we have something a little different for you. Now through September 22nd, all FanDuel customers can bet $5 and get a three-week free trial of NFL Sunday Ticket from YouTube and YouTube TV. Then with a YouTube TV base plan, you'll be able to watch every regular season Sunday afternoon out-of-market game. All you need is a Google account and a current form of payment, and you can cancel anytime. Just visit FanDuel.com/Brian to download America's number one sportsbook. FanDuel Sportsbook is the official partner of 106.7 The Fan. You have to be 21 years old and present in Virginia. Full price of NFL Sunday Ticket will be automatically charged seasonally after free trial. No refunds. Terms, restrictions, and embargoes apply. Gambling problem? Call 1-800.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in-store or at mybobs.com to play now.
It's a good thing baseballs already have stitches. Because the way these ball players are hitting them... Yeah, they need stitches if they didn't already have them. So the next time you're watching a poor little baseball smacked off the wall in center, keep that little fella in your thoughts. It's hard to be a baseball right now. Baseball is something else. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
100 Gambler.
If you missed any of our interview with Armin Katayan, get on that Odyssey app or the chapters or the podcast, whatever it is, go listen to it because it was good. His track record's pretty legitimate, pretty spectacular.
I bet you made a lot of 80s and presidents a little nervous.
The book?
Yeah.
Oh, hell yeah.
They were trying to push it towards just the players, but like, hold on, y'all been doing this stuff for a long time now. Don't blame it on them.
It's like what I say about kids. There's no such thing as bad kids. There's bad parents. And I think college football is a byproduct of that. All right, let's get back to the pros. Mike Clay, I always find Mike Clay's work interesting. He is an analytics guy, but kind of goes far beyond that. And like I see him at NFL events. Like he's also wired into the league. And he broke down some really interesting like aspects of why a team should be good versus bad. Not just like, oh, you know, they got Mahomes and they got Goff or whatever. So the team with the easiest schedule in the NFL is the Atlanta Falcons. I think it's really possible Atlanta wins that NFC South. I think they're probably competing against Tampa. And then I don't know what New Orleans is. I don't know if you buy Derek Carr. I kind of have a tough time with it. But the thing with hardest schedules and easiest schedules is everything changes so dramatically year to year and hell week to week,
year to year, little injury to big injury.
I think you can get caught up in looking at schedules too far out. But the things that I actually think matter from a scheduling standpoint to try to use that into your yearly prognostications, the division and the quarterbacks at least slated to play against.
In your division, yeah.
Yeah. And I think, okay, so I bet Tampa's got a relatively easy schedule because that division kind of stinks. Yeah. And I think Washington's schedule is probably pretty damn hard because the Cowboys and the Eagles, who they play 4 out of 17 times, are slated to be pretty damn good.
Yep.
And
they have a team that's not that good that they seem can beat.
Right. Now, I got bad news for anybody listening from New England. I don't think the Patriots have a lot of talent.
Mm-hmm.
That offensive line, woof. They also, according to Mike Clay, have the toughest schedule in the NFL.
How did that happen, though?
Well, just think about the division. Jets, Bills, Dolphins are probably all top 10 Super Bowl contenders, I would say.
Jets, Bills, Dolphins.
That's your division. That's six games.
But those guys can beat each other up to where you get them and they don't have much.
Sure. Dude, but the Pats also play the Niners, the Bengals, the Texans, and they play in Cincy and in Houston.
Yeah, that's a
lot. So they announced that they're going with Jacoby.
I kind of figured they won't do that.
I did too. I think it was kind of not said, but understood that it was they were going with Jacoby. The Pats' first four games are brutal. Heard this on a podcast this morning. I know they open in Cincinnati. So they open in Cincinnati. Then they open their home openers against Seattle. Then they're on the road against the Jets. I think that's Monday Night Football. Maybe it's Thursday night. Then they go to San Fran. So the first three of the first four are on the road, including Niners, Jets, Bengals.
And they have to fly all the way to Niners.
Yeah.
That's normally a loss, too.
If the Pats open 0-4 or something, do you think they go to Drake? Drake?
They probably will if they go 0-4 if nothing happens with that O-line. Because if the O-line is bad and they get worse, they'll try to not put him in the game. Because they don't want him to go behind terrible. When he plays, they want it to be a situation where everybody's healthy around him to give him an opportunity. Because you know what they're also playing on, too, now. If you put him in there and they're 0-4, you put him in there and the offensive line is great, and he looks bad anyway, that looks bad on the people that picked him.
Sure. It's the league of self-preservation. Landfill. Do you have any mathematical models or algorithms that you have developed?
I do not, no.
Okay. Now, considering the fact that you do not have any mathematical models or algorithms, do you feel comfortable in making a prediction of what NFL team will score the most points this season?
I do, actually, yes.
I bet.
Yeah.
Is it a place famous for ribs located near the middle of the country?
Hold on, I'm actually going to work on my model right now. Maybe I can finish it live.
Okay, let's. Okay. Please model.
Just give me a couple seconds here. Okay, it's ready.
Okay, what do you got?
Okay, the model says that the Chiefs are going to score the most points this year.
Like
the Chiefs or the Dolphins?
God bless the modelers and the mathematicians. But the Chiefs are loaded and added a bunch. Like, I would pick it to be Kansas City. The Dolphins scored a ton last year. The Niners score at a high clip. See, the Lions score at a high clip. But give me the Chiefs.
See, that's the thing about it, though, bro. We are so hungry and thirsty for information about sports. Anyone that tells us this is why something happens, and they can give you a equation and make it look like they're right, we normally believe it, okay? But the ultimate thing is this, man. You don't damn know. Because we saw what they did last year. One injury, one thing can happen, and it completely changed that up.
For sure.
And the question I ask is, do you ever hear somebody from the analytics or the numbers world come back and say, we knew that could have happened? No, they don't know. They just move on to the next because – no one follows them personally. They're like, we do radio every day.
I just think
people don't question us.
I think the Chiefs would be my gut feel they're going to score the most.
The Chiefs,
here's the
because
list
they got Pat Mahomes.
Right. And they added Hollywood Brown. They added the kid from Texas that can fly, Xavier Worthy. It doesn't appear that the kid Rice is going to get suspended.
Miami.
Because the court case isn't until January or something.
But you look at Miami, they got the fastest team out there. Maybe they'll score. I go to San Francisco, that's about five weapons on offense.
Sure.
And you can't score on their defense.
I got a list you don't want to be on.
The ones that won't score?
This has nothing to do with Joe McCarthy. Jeff, what do your models suggest as the projected lowest scoring teams in the NFL this season?
My motto suggests that the National League hates on Washington, so they probably tried to put us down there.
Who's the National League?
The national media, my bad.
Jeff is always 100%
ride or die.
Ashburn syndrome. he overhit a question. It could be any team.
National League.
It could be the Panthers. It could be
some bad teams out there.
It could be, how about
the, you know how they constantly put Washington between that 28 and 32nd spot? That won't happen until
Jeff, they did go 4-13 last year.
I know. But that's why I said that won't change until after this season. That's why my model predicts.
So the Jeff, the world is full of haters model says that.
Yes, that's exactly what it is.
They think the Commanders will be the least scoring team in the NFL. What's your guess, B? I'm guessing Lamphill saw this already.
I'm not gonna go with the Commanders. Then again, they did talk all the stuff about the numbers a little bit early this year. I still think we got teams out there that are probably worse than us. New England is not that good. The Giants is not that good. Carolina, we haven't seen what they can do.
I am glad that the B. Mitch model is able to overcome the world hates on us model. According to ESPN's projections, the New York Giants, lowest scoring team in the NFL with 307 points in 17 games. I'm no math guy, but what is 307 in 17? That's ugly. U-G-L-Y. You ain't got no alibi. 307 in 17 games. There he is. Hello, doctor.
18 points a game.
Yes.
So based off of Coach Gibbs' analogy, score 3 touchdowns and a field goal, you win. They will lose every game.
Doc, who's the lowest scoring team in the NFL this year? Who do you think is the lowest scoring team in the NFL this year? We're putting. That's what ESPN says. They wrote the.
And Doc got that from just being living that long. He knows.
Doc, yeah, I mean, he's a doctor. He knows things. The Giants' offense includes offensive tackle Andrew Thomas and rookie receiver Malik Nabers, but it's hard to find much else to get excited about here. Quarterback Daniel Jones has struggled with injuries and effectiveness. Saquon Barkley was replaced by Devin Singletary at running back. And rookie Theo Johnson has taken over for a retired Darren Waller at tight end. Recent offensive lineman investments have yet to work out, as 2022 seventh overall pick Evan Neal is not even a starter. They got the Giants with 307, the Pats at 310, then the Commanders at 320. Okay. So Commanders are on the list, but not near the top of it. And I think there's far more variance that could happen for Washington's offense than could happen for Washington's defense. That's the way I see it. We may or may not have Chris Russell next. Hey, Lamphill, when the stock market goes bad, isn't it usually in the fall? Don't look at your 401k today, man. NVIDIA's down 8%. Boeing down 10%.
Boeing has been in the news negatively.
Boeing's having some trouble.
Hey, his 10% might be good.
joining us now to help us understand the international stock market is Chris Russell.
I know nothing about the international stock market. I do know the Jackson 5 and one of the greatest groups of all time.
I mean,
it's a big staple of Motown Monday over on the show that, as you guys claim, starts at 2 o'clock. Yeah, exactly.
Landini, I don't know if you could hear the conversation here, but Rooster is drinking far too much diet soda, and B. Mitch finally set him straight. He's like, Rooster, keep drinking all that. It's going to kill you.
Yeah.
So yeah. I think try to mix some water in, bro.
I do, with different flavor enhancers and all that. Normally, as I was telling you guys before, for whatever reason, I took a tremendously cheap bottle of Walmart diet soda and drank the whole damn thing yesterday, and a couple of cups of coffee, and literally did not drink any water except for whatever the water content would be in the soda and the coffee. And I tried to go get blood work done this morning, right, at the doctor's. And, she said, she's sitting there like she's shaking the needle in my vein. And I'm like, what the hell are you doing? She's like, I can't get enough blood out. You're too dehydrated. I said, well, yeah. I said, I probably haven't drank water since Saturday night. night.
Yeah, you think that happened in the last 2 days?
Yeah, so B told me I'm just about to die, which I appreciate, B.
Dehydration doesn't happen overnight, dog.
Yeah, I know.
It happens over time, too. I know.
To borrow a phrase from Drive-By Truckers, stay clear of the needle, Rooster.
Yeah.
All right, what I wanted to ask you is, who do you think will be the lowest scoring team in the NFL?
I'd probably say the Carolina Panthers.
Okay.
I mean, Canales is going to make them better, but I think there's this misperception that Canales is some boy wonder genius offensively, you know, offensive savant that, like, he went to Tampa for 1 year and they were this electronic juggernaut, this electric juggernaut. They were basically tied for yards and points per
National
game.
National League.
with the Commanders, and we know how much their offense sucked. So, I mean, listen, do I expect them to be better? Sure. But do they have any weapons? I mean, not a lot.
That's fair.
Deontay Johnson, they got him.
We looked through these like ESPN projections, and they actually had the Giants as the lowest scoring NFL team.
Mm.
They did have the Washington made the list as the third lowest scoring NFL team.
You buy that?
I think there is an opportunity for real variance with Washington. I think last year they couldn't score, right? They had, and they gave up a billion points. They had the worst point differential in the NFL.
Mm-hmm.
I am not overly bullish about like win-loss record this fall, but I think you'll have more competitive games, and I think the offense will be able to move. I think just changing the quarterback, there's a lot of differences and new things, but I think the quarterback is the top of the list, and I believe in Jaden Daniels.
And also the mentality. I mean, you know, you believe in Jaden Daniels. I think we all believe in Jaden Daniels, but I mean, we both know, all three of us know, I guess those guys too, they're going to run the football, and they're going to run it much more effectively this year than they did last year, and just by effort, right? Just by opportunity. And they'll probably be in a lot of 12 personnel, especially early on, maybe even a good sprinkling of 13 personnel, especially against some of the pass rushes
that
they go against. I mean, I've thought that since they drafted Ben Sinnott. I've said, oh, okay, I can see like the puzzle pieces coming together here. You know, they are going to run a ton of 12 personnel. That doesn't mean that they're not going to run some 4 and 5 receiver sets. They are. It's just not going to be this wide open juggernaut offense.
The perception of the air raid versus what we've seen and what Cliff has openly talked. Yo, and even go back. Now, if people try to me that Kyler Murray was on the roster, so there's a lot of quarterback runs, I'm aware of that, dude. It still doesn't account for 10% of it. Go back to Arizona and look how balanced those offenses were.
Mm-hmm.
And he started out more open and then got more, I guess, you know, what people would consider conservative or just physical and downhill. And we know James Conner, Chase Edmonds, and they've got basically what they think is their essentially equivalent of what Cliff had in Arizona. The question is, does he have a smarter quarterback? Does he have a harder working quarterback? And I think the answer to that is yes, with no disrespect to Kyler Murray, but Kyler Murray's reputation was earned by Kyler Murray.
Right.
Not necessarily because Cliff was incompetent. Mm-hmm. At least that's what I believe.
I play fantasy football, Russo. Are you familiar with that product?
I am familiar with that.
Do you play fantasy football?
Yeah, I have a draft tonight, actually.
Who's in your league? Lenny?
No, we're actually doing a show draft. So we're
you got
looking
like
for
Paulie Sabah.
Yes, Paulie Sabah.
Oh,
yes.
No.
So,
oh my God!
You'll love this. Last year with the number 3 overall pick. Last year, now coming off of a playoff year and a contract year, Sabah, Dr. Sabah, picked Daniel Jones, number 3 overall.
Keep my words to myself.
Great. I mean,
right?
Yeah.
Pretty bad,
that's
right?
The dumbest move in history.
And I love Dr. Sabah, but, you know, I mean, to each his own, you know? I'm not taking Daniel Jones, number 3 overall.
God, I wish Lamville would say on air what he just said in my ear.
Oh, man.
This coming Sunday, week 1 of the NFL.
I'm going to be in Tampa with you.
Awesome. Can't wait. I think I remember why you're going to be in Tampa.
That's not the
case. I hope you're not driving.
That's not the case.
Can we get you a bus ticket?
No, I'm going to see Brad Berlin. How about that?
I didn't bring up anything. Mm-hmm. You just got very defensive about your trip to Tampa.
I mean, because I know your brain and where it's heading. and I'm just going to cut it off before you run into the 18-wheeler.
Okay, man. Listen, I'm not defensive about going to Tampa. I'm going for work. Yeah. I'm going to go work a football game.
I like hummus. That's a good choice.
Thank you.
That's a change.
Just compliment.
I'm just trying to divert the way this is going.
I have a question for you.
Yes.
I also play fantasy football. I am not in a league like you. But I plan to start Zach Ertz in fantasy on Sunday. Little Sam Cassell dance. I'm putting it out there.
Ooh.
What do you think?
Antoine Winfield, that's a pretty tough matchup. I mean, I assume he's going to get Antoine Winfield a bunch, right?
I mean, Winfield's 5'9". He should be able to post him up like a basketball player.
Yeah, but he's tough as you know what, man.
I know.
I mean, they just paid him $95 million. He can cover. I mean, he's more of a hit stick, but he can get after it.
He's 5'9". 200 pounds.
It's not a bad call.
I'm saying he's a baller, though.
I would like to see a little bit easier of a matchup. How about that?
Fair. I have Luke Musgrave from the Packers. Mm. What do you think, Packers-Eagles?
Friday what's your lean? I'm going to go... I'm going to lean Green Bay.
I think
Kelce loss at center. You guys were talking about that. I was thinking about that already, but you guys were talking about it earlier on my drive-in. Yeah, I mean, I think Kelce is a huge loss for so many reasons. Leadership, character, spirit, but also the football reasons. We all know center, cerebral assassin right on the offensive line. So,
what they say?
Hopefully that'll be better for Biadasz and the Commanders. We know they've struggled at center for the last 3 years since Chase Roullier first started getting injured. I think this is a real tough test, though. The first 2 weeks, we'll find out how good Biadasz is. Dexter Lawrence next week and Vita Vea this week. Woo.
Thanks, Roost.
Enjoy your boys'
program.
Appreciate you.
Good luck with that Tampa trip.
Thanks.
Jeff.
Picking a burgundy shirt.
Jeff Howe from The Athletic joins us next.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
It's a good thing baseballs already have stitches, because the way these ball players are hitting them, yeah, they need stitches if they didn't already have them. So the next time you're watching a poor little baseball smacked off the wall in center, keep that little fella in your thoughts. It's hard to be a baseball right now. Baseball is something else. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
Trying to figure out what to eat for dinner yet again? With Knorr Sides and Bouillon as your not-so-secret ingredient, you can skip the drive-thru and do dinner at home. Knorr Taste Combos provide a menu of delicious, affordable, and well-balanced meals that you can prepare in 30 minutes or less. Visit Knorr.com to get quick and easy recipe ideas for your home-cooked weeknight dinners. It's not fast food, but it's so good.